therefore ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're a child of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then that they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And that faithful there could be translated believing Abraham. All right. Now, let's look at this. Now, we have been talking about living in the supernatural, and now we're talking about restoring the supernatural. We have come some distance in this, and we are talking about the supernatural, what the supernatural is and how it works for us. This willingness or this desire that God has to distinguish us from other people in the earth, and that people need the supernatural. You're coming into a place right now, kingdom of God, whenever you're talking about the kingdom of God, you're basically talking about the supernatural. And there's an increased need for the kingdom of God in the earth. There's an increased need for it. And the reason for it is because of the curse. This curse is in the earth right now. Adam was, the Bible talks about God created Adam and Eve, and he made their bodies, created them. And so now Adam was basically created, and he was naked, but he didn't know it because he was wrapped in the glory of God, in the light of that glory. I believe that when he sinned and that glory lifted, I mean, they kind of looked at each other and said, oh, okay, okay, all right, maybe they didn't. Okay, all right, so far. All right, so anyway, but he wasn't aware that he didn't have clothes on. That wasn't an awareness of his because of where he lived in terms of his own thinking and his own spirit. So now, here he was, and God basically made them and duplicated himself. God said, I'm going to make one in my image after my likeness, meaning going to be exact duplicate of kind, and he's going to operate just like me. Made Adam and Eve. Now, he placed them in the garden. Now, as Adam was in the garden, somebody said, well, you know, he is really a weed puller. Well, there weren't no weeds in the garden. I mean, the weeds were in there. So here was Adam, and he was in there in the garden. Now, the idea about working the garden, he basically worked the garden by faith. Faith was the tools by which he used to manage the garden. Now, you just got to get your mind ready for it, because we're talking about things that can take your whole thinking up to a whole nother level. All right, so now, this planet was never designed to have sin in it. And Adam was given charge over this earth. If you look back here very quickly, and I'm not going to belabor on these scriptures, I just want to jot this in your thinking. In Psalm chapter 8, in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3, he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. That word translates Elohim, which means God. God made man a little lower than himself. Watch this now. And has crowned him with glory and honor. The glory is the anointing, the blessing. The honor is his position. So remember, when Adam sinned, God said, Adam, where art thou? When he said, where art thou? He wasn't talking about his location. He was talking about his headship. He's talking about his position. He had lost his headship over all creation that God had given him. And look what he said in verse 6. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Talking about man. So if he's talking about man, he's talking about he's given him dominion over the works of his hands. So part of the works of God's hands are the planets. So I am firmly convinced that once Adam finished the earth, he was going to move to the planets, meaning that all of this he was going to use to make it all like the Garden of Eden. Lord have mercy. Just stay with me because I'm going to stretch you just a little bit here today. All right, so now here is Adam, and God says, don't eat of the tree here in the midst of the garden, tree of knowledge and good, of evil, good and evil. And so Eve was tempted of Satan. Satan told Eve, says, hey, God knows that the day you eat of this tree, you'll be like God. And Eve ate of the tree and gave to Adam, and he did eat. Now, what did the enemy do? The enemy tried to make Eve feel that God had held something back from her, that it wasn't God, he wasn't going to give her all that he was, all that he could, whatever. But she thought she was missing something. So she looked at the tree and saw it was good for fruit and good to make one wise and so forth and so on. So she ate of it. Now, once she did that, following Satan's instructions, she fell. But this earth didn't fall till Adam fell. And because he was the one that carried the headship. Say amen to that. Amen. Two heads is a freak. So it had to be one head. All right. You still got to get that into people's thinking today, because you got a society out here that is trying to. But anyway, I could preach on that, but I'm gonna let it go for right now. All right. So here is Adam and Eve. Now they've sinned. And as a result of that, the curse came into the earth. The law of sin and death was loosed. Now, this earth was not designed to hold the curse. And so now this earth, things start to happen in this earth that hadn't happened before the sin came. And so now here in this earth, there are pockets of sin, and in those pockets, it gets so sinful until the earth even erupts, it cracks, called an earthquake. All kinds of things happen. Now, I'm saying that because this tornadoes, all that didn't exist. But all this came because of sin. Now, without God, which is Babylon is a society trying to meet its needs without God. So without God, people are trying to fix it. And they're trying to fix, quote, Mother Earth. And so they are doing things trying to fix it because they feel like there is a, God, I'm gonna just be straight with you. Can I be straight with you? You cannot fix this earth naturally. Got it? You can't do it. Now, all kinds of scams are going on because of what's happening. Because they, at one time, they said that the earth was going to cool off and everything going to get cold and the ice is moving down. Then the next thing they said is going global warming. It's going, are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, what scam is next? Then they said, you're going to run out of gas. Remember they told you that? So then they talked you into buying a car that was so small you could hardly get your big toe in there. Come, no, listen, if you have a small car, that's fine. That's great. But notice they programmed scarcity in our minds. and had it so that we were lined up at the gas pumps trying to get gas. Come on now. And there was no scarcity. This earth has got plenty of reserves, and there'll be no scarcity till you leave here. Now, I'm just saying, you can look at all the news you want to and so forth, but for the most part, that is dark knowledge. It's knowledge without God. So what I told you is now we got to bring back the God factor. We got to bring God back into our conversation. Folks, half of the movies and all that stuff that people see, think about it. You don't see those movies with somebody say, well, praise God, let's pray about it. You don't see that. You just see a lot of drama and a lot of hysteria and frustration and all that. Don't nobody break down and say, hallelujah, let's pray. Praise God, I believe I've received that. You don't see none of that because the enemy wants God out of it. So we saying we are coming in to bring God back in it. And the Bible says that the whole earth is right now, it is groaning. The whole earth is travailing, and it's travailing, waiting for the manifestation, glory to God, of the sons of God. Now somebody said, oh, it's waiting on Jesus. No, no. It's waiting on you, because in the Gospels, it calls Jesus the only begotten Son of God, doesn't it? Doesn't it? But after the Gospels, in the epistles, it doesn't call him that anymore. Turn over with me to Colossians, please, and chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to preach this loud now. I've got to... because I got to go somewhere else. That's why. Why not? Why not? <That's> a, okay. Okay. No, I'm telling you. Okay. That's what Moses said. Lord, your people. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's see, where am I now? Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. That word meet means able. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now you're joining with Jesus. He got 100%, you got 100%. Not he got 50%, you got 50. Okay, you're joining with him. You're seated together with him. Verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? You got born again, you got delivered. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Where you are, there are no shortages. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the who? Firstborn of every creature. Jesus, from then on, is referred to as the firstborn of the church, the firstborn of every creature, the firstborn, firstborn, firstborn. If there is a firstborn, there is a secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, and I'm in there somewhere. Got it? Now, I'm only letting you know that because I am a son of God. Turn over to 1 John, please. 1 John and chapter 3. I'm only covering these so that you won't have any argument with me after you leave here. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called who? Sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Watch this. Beloved, now are we the who? Sons of God. All right? Now, that's not necessarily referring to a gender there. It's referring to a maturity, a state that you have. Now, we, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 1, are his body. And whatever the head wants to do, he's got to do through the body. So you're in this earth, and you're in this earth for such a time as this. And there was something interesting that you have on you now. You have what is known as the blessing on you. I said, you have the blessing on you. Now understand, this blessing was on Adam. And this blessing was on Adam because the blessing gave him the empowerment or the anointing or the ability to be able to take the garden and take it to other places. Now, once he lost this blessing, God had to restore the blessing. Let's go over here, please, to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Over in Isaiah chapter 51, I'll get there. He says in verse 1, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, and ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewed, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and what him? Blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort who? Zion. He will comfort all her what? Waste places. And he will make her wilderness like what? Eden. And her desert like the garden of the who? Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Isn't that something? Now notice what he said in verse 3. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. But notice how he's going to do that. He's got the blessing. So because he's got the blessing on him, he can make ruined places like the garden, which was what the blessing was to do when he first got it on Adam. The blessing is the power of God to override the curse. The blessing is that anointing by which divine favor flows. Are you with me? So here is the blessing on Abraham. But it's not just on Abraham. Turn to Galatians, please. In Galatians chapter 3 again. See, he said, "You, by faith, are the children of Abraham." Look what he says in Galatians chapter 3 and the very familiar scripture to you, verse 13. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law." Now, the curse is still here. But you've been what? Redeemed from it. "Being made a curse for us." So he took the curse that you and I deserved and the penalty. "For it is written," that's back over in Deuteronomy, "cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And I showed you that one time. "That the what?" I put "so" in there. "So that the blessing of Abraham might come on" who? "The Gentiles" through who? "Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit." How? Through faith. How are we going to receive it? Through faith. All right. Now, let's take up where we left off. Let's go back to Mark's gospel. I better not do that. Let me correct that. Matthew chapter 13, please. I'm going to skip over that. I'll just refer to it. Matthew chapter 13. I don't want to run over today. Matthew chapter 13. And let me know when you get there. Praise God. All right. In Matthew chapter 13, look what it said in verse 31. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the what? Greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. All right? What is this saying to us? God's blessing is on you. In fact, His blessing is in you. And the potential that you have in you is capable of something becoming. Ooh-wee. And if you have any potential in you, usually it needs a demand to bring it out. Say amen to this. A demand must be placed on potential. A lot of people just try to sit up and make things happen. No. You got to put some feet to your faith. You got to step out on something. A lot of people won't step out on much. They want you to take all the risks, but they don't want to take a risk. Now understand, the enemy tries to talk them out of that, because when you step out and your potential manifests, it manifests glory. See? And God wants the glory. See? The glory could be defined as the full attributes and nature of something. The glory. So you are created to reflect God's nature. You are. And so many times our full potential is not realized because we don't step out on anything. See? Oh, okay. So in this case, God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. I'll say it again. God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. Glory to God. Can you got time? Over in, I don't want you to turn because I got to really move on. Matthew chapter 5, I'm coming back to 13 now. Matthew chapter 5, he said in verse 13, that's where we left off last time. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, where shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now watch this. You're the salt of the earth. We said salt had three main properties. One, salt is everywhere. Everywhere. It's in plants. It's in animals. It's in water. It's on land and soil. It's everywhere. Got it? You should be everywhere. Salt also is a preservative. When I was a kid, my grandmother at the farm, they didn't have a refrigerator or a freezer like this, but they had a smokehouse that they would hang up the beef or whatever have you and put salt on it to preserve it. And it would keep that meat in that smokehouse. Salt also makes people thirsty. And you can have salt, it'll make people thirsty because you're supposed to be there in their environment to make them hunger for the kingdom. Okay? Now, all this is why you're planted among the wicked. Because then he goes on to say that you are the light of the world. The light of the world. Let me bring that water there, please. Thanks. Hold on, let me just get my place here. Thank you. All right, let's go back to Mark chapter 5. I don't know whether you're there. And let's look now at verse 14. You are the light of the world. Now, we don't need any more light in here. I mean, when I say that, I mean, you want the word in here, but this is not where you shine brightest. Sitting up in here with me is not where you shine brightest. You shine brightest, the darker it is, the brighter you shine. And the tendency with God's people is somehow, when they get born again, they think the more they can separate from wicked people, that the more holy they are. Or the more they can not wear makeup. Now, listen, I don't have anything against not wearing makeup, but don't try to not wear makeup, think that make you holy. All right, now I'm gonna deal with this. I'm gonna deal with it. Now listen, whether you wanna wear it, whether you don't wanna wear it, that's up to you. Now here's what I'm talking about. Now, there is extremes in any kind of situation. You know that and I know it. You follow what I'm saying? My point to you is the Bible talks about moderation, so you can go in there and find out what that means. But the point of it is we've tried to traditionally separate ourselves from the world by something, Lord have mercy, how do I want to say it? Come on over there to John chapter 17, because I don't want to step in no hole here. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Let me know when you get there. Folks, there are people in other religions that I go, other faiths, that I go across the nations, and they don't wear makeup. That's what their religion calls for. There are people that probably, and some of those are fasting longer than you, and they still don't know God. So it's not that does it. What does it is the blessing. See, now let me give you this, because I'm not talking against holiness. I preach on holiness. But true holiness is what I'm talking about. That's brought out in Ephesians. The man came to Jesus and said, what can I do that I can have eternal life? Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. He said, all that have I done from my youth. Now notice all I named. Don'ts. And that's what the law gives you. It gives you a bunch of prohibitions that you don't do. But when Jesus came, he didn't preach the law. He preached the blessing. He preached you something that you should act on. Faith purifies. If you don't believe it, start walking in it. My wife, I remember I'm coming home. I was frustrated about something. I said, baby, you know, that guy, so forth. She said, wait, sweetheart, hold on. I said, what? She said, I can't listen to that right now. I'm working on something. You working on something. Notice, her faith was at work, and it works by love, not by gossip. Got it? And she, because she's working on something with her faith, could not stand to get out of love. Jesus says, there's two commandments I'm going to give you, and everything's going to be in that. Love the Lord and love thy neighbor as thyself. Hello. So when I go out and I'm planted among the wicked, I've got to love my enemy. And for me to have Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to flow, put it up on the board, to flow, then I've got to stay in love. Look what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love is the curtain rod for everything else to hang on. You can't have fruit of joy with no love. Try it. So look what it says. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, what? Faith, meekness, temperance. Let me stop right there. I'm working on that. Temperance, against such there is no law. I got to control myself up here when them scriptures don't get up there soon enough. Can I be transparent now? Say amen to that. Because if I don't have self-control, it could turn off somebody. Now, a person offended is harder to be won than a strong city. I didn't come out there to offend them. I came out there to win them. Now, I'm saying that I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to walk in truth and so forth. But I've got to let the fruit of the Spirit constantly be operating in my life, because they're going to bite the fruit. But what they don't know is the seed of redemption is in it. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So you got to go in those places. God will send you to perfect you. He'll send you into those places where people don't necessarily like you. Oh, those people are prejudiced in there. So what? What did that have to do with you? You're not even from this place. You are, your citizenship, according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, is in heaven. Put it up there on the board, please. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Let me show you this. Look what, ooh, he got it up fast. help me. Okay. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Flip that to the Amplified, please. But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Savior. Amen. Your homeland is heaven. Amen. Your constitution is the Bible. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. And when God sends you in here, he's sending you as a sheep among wolves. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Come on now. See, I don't care how they treat you. Let the fruit of joy, because it's a supernatural disposition of a kingdom citizen. There is nothing that they should be able to say to get you upset. Why? Because they don't promote you. The Bible says promote. promotion for you does not come from the east or from the west, but it comes from the Lord. If God decides to promote you, there ain't a person on earth that can stop you moving ahead. I'm living supernaturally. Ain't nothing you can say to hurt me. You can't call me no ugly name. If they call you a name and it's not your name, just don't answer. Just keep walking up. Are you following what I'm saying? What you getting mad about? Love your enemies. And then you will be like your Father. Now this blessing is on your life. And this blessing is in you. And it's designed to come out of you as you walk in love. And it's designed and powerful enough to create a garden anywhere you go. Makes no difference. It's more powerful than the curse has ever been. You see, in some people's mind, they think love is not more powerful than hate. The reason why, they don't know where love comes from. Love is not a feeling, love is a person. Say amen to that. And there is nothing that can beat, can fight, can overturn love. The power of love, the most powerful thing here. You love somebody, I don't care how they treat you, just love them. Paul was an absolute out of his mind terrorist, and he was terrorizing them Christians. But boy, let me tell you, the stoning of Stephen got him. And boy, I tell you, Stephen, in the middle of him being stoned, he looked up at the Father and said, forgive him. Jesus, in the middle of hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Paul was one of the key people that was calling him to be stoned. But what happened? A seed came in because somebody ate that fruit. And the next thing you know, on the Damascus Road, a light shined from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. Paul fell to his knees, blinded. He said, who art you, Lord? He knew who it was. He said, I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting. Now go to a street called Straight. Now, when you go in those places, some people say, well, I'm going to quit my job and go into full-time ministry. Got good news for you. You're already in full-time ministry. I'm going to help you now. The way we've characterized a job is something that we got and this is what we do and this is where we work and make some money and so forth. Notice, it's all self. But once you come into the kingdom, then your assignment becomes that ministry that God has called you to. Whether it be as a bricklayer or a physician or whatever it is, that's your assignment. You don't have to quit your job to go into ministry. You are already in ministry. And where you are, you need to let your light so shine. What you're looking at is the fact that God will just change your assignment. He'll bring you out of the bricklaying job and put you over here in a church somewhere. Say amen to this. Amen. I've got to get you to see that the miracles are going to take place in the marketplace, just like they're going to take place behind the four walls of the church. Amen. Are you with me? All right. Now, let's do the last part. Turn with me to Genesis and Genesis chapter 14. Now, I don't know whether I want to tell you this or not.
Oh, tell us. We can take it. Give us a story.
All right, now, are you with me so far?
Yes.
What are you doing? You are making wherever you are a garden spot. That's why you've been sent there. What? Lives are ruined. And your job is to make them like the Garden of Eden. That's your job. Now, how do you do that? Not by getting a 10-pound Bible and beating somebody over the head, telling them they're a big sinner. But let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father. People should be pressing to get into the kingdom after looking at your life. They said, my God, what do you have? I noticed you talk on the phone to your husband and seems like y'all have a wonderful relationship, huh? You got a minute? I'd like to talk to you. You got what I'm saying? Here it comes. Here comes opportunity. See, you are his arms, his legs, his mouthpiece. You're it. He doesn't have anybody but you. If you don't go, nobody goes. Nobody gets one. And somehow we want to come out of that place, but you got to remember, Jesus said, I pray, Father, don't take them out of the world. Just keep them from the evil. Every place that you go, the atmosphere should shift. Sure, sure. Now, I'm saying that because this is very, very key to you. Everybody, you know, they're going to laugh at you, of course, some people, because they can't understand and so forth. But you're going to have the last laugh. God promised you, he'll never let you be ashamed. All you got to do is stay one word, faithful. Let's stay faithful. All right? Let me just show you this. Woo, Lord Jesus. All right. Now, many times as we're working our assignments, we are provision minded. And it's kind of interesting about being provision minded. When you are, then it's very difficult for the gifts and the talents of God to really operate. Many times, because people are so money-minded or provision-minded, that many of their gifts go undiscovered. The potential doesn't come out. I have here the full flow of the anointing comes when you decide that the kingdom of God and your assignment is more important than anything else. Okay? Now, I ask you to turn to Genesis, right? In Genesis chapter 14. Now remember, God planted Joseph among the wicked. Am I right about it? God planted Daniel among the wicked. Am I right about it? Now they came against Daniel and they tried to throw him in the lion's den, but did the lions bite him? Or did they eat him? Did they bite him? Did they eat him? No, they didn't. And also Esther. Some of you women, Esther. Notice Esther was planted in a heathen kingdom. Kingdom of a king called Ahasuerus. All right? But you and I are invading a system. The enemy has tried to invade God's system, and now we are going to flip the script on it. You cannot change the system from the outside in. Somebody's got to go in undercover. Got it? You go in the Bible and look at it and see how they change the system. So your assignment as the church is subdue, is to replenish, and it's to bring things under heaven's under the alignment of heaven or the government of God. Now, this whole idea about provision. Now, we really got to get this in our spirit, because the tendency that we have is to think of ourselves in lieu of what we can make happen and our own strength and so forth. But I want you to get away from that. I want to say a couple of things here. Over in Genesis chapter 14, now I'm out of time. Can I take 2 more minutes here with this? In Genesis chapter 17, pardon me. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is a king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. So he was a king and a priest. And he blessed him. Say, blessed him. And said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Glory to God. Number one, there's nothing more powerful than the blessing in the earth. That's it. But God has made it so that you can be totally independent in this world, and that you don't have to rely on a system that you have been sent here to displace. Jesus didn't come to improve the world economy. He came to replace it. Now, God, I'm gonna say some things now, has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Ooh, Lord. Now, he called Abram a possessor of heaven and earth. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, over in, folks, I'm not going to look at your face. I'm going to just tell you this. What time is it? I got to go. I do have to go because I got to. Over in, where was I? Let's see. I just dropped my thought here. Deshandalabahasata. Praise God. That's all right. Just stay with me. Stay with me. It's coming back. Oh, all right. Now, your teacher is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost teaches you beyond what you can naturally ask or think. Now, he uses people like myself to teach you. Because what you think is operating on a different platform than what the Holy Ghost thinks. I use that story where the man went over to one of the Arab nations and he did some business over there from the U.S. And then he, after finishing doing the business, he was going to come back. And one of the royal family over there asked him, said, "Hey, we'd like to give you a gift. It's customary. What can we give you?" He said, "I don't want anything. I just wanted to do business, go back to the U.S. He said, "No, we insist," so forth and so on. After he went through a few iterations of that, he said, "Fine, just give me a golf club." Guy said, "Golf club? Yeah, golf club." So he then goes back to the U.S. and 2 weeks later, he gets a knock at the door. Boom. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Can I help you, sir?" He said, "Yes, your name, Mr. Jones, Brown, whatever it is." He said, "Yes, it is." He said, "I'd like you to come follow me. I'd like to take you to your golf club." Now, one was thinking a club, 9-iron. Got it? Another one was thinking a club. So he took him to a 18-hole golf club with a clubhouse with putting greens with all these lakes on it and so forth. That was his. Now, one man had in mind an iron. The other man had in mind real estate. I'm just saying, God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. So when you read the scriptures that says wealth and riches shall be in your house, what are you thinking? Guaranteed, if you haven't been programmed differently, your thoughts are something so far lower than what God said until the church has still been where it is. I want you to get rid of that. I want to give you a new thought. The richest man in the world is not supposed to be some of these rich folks and billionaires that we see that don't know God. It's supposed to be a believer. And the biggest billionaire in the world is in poverty compared to what God wants to give you. And you can't work enough jobs to earn what God wants to give you or what you have already got laid up for you in heaven. And you don't need to go to them and get what they got. You can dig what God's got for you in heaven, because not only do you possess this earth, but you got wealth in heaven that you can get right now. No, you ain't doing me right. I'm gonna close my book. I said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your teacher is not a man, because a man is dealing with a limited supply in this earth. I'm telling you, you are a billionaire and don't know it. I'm telling you right now, before it's all over with, we're gonna have people walking in a place that heaven's reality is gonna come in this earth. People gonna see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they're not gonna see it cause you raising your hand praising God, but you're gonna have your marriage together, you're gonna have your health together, you're gonna have businesses all over the country, and you're gonna be walking in a well that will disturb the average man. Sit down. Now, I know some people say, well, you're just trying to make them greedy. I don't have to make them greedy. They can be greedy on their own. My point to you is this. This hadn't been preached. And that time I went down to Texas, or went down to Oklahoma and preached on seeding for the billion flow. Had a man who was a pastor who brought somebody else there. And he said, hey, there's a man called me when I got back to Chicago. Said, there's a person who wants to see you. I said, who? This guy's a billionaire. He wants to talk to you. And that guy wanted to meet with me to ask me one question. Where did you get that from?
Amen.
I said, I got it right out of the Bible. He said, I ain't never heard that preached before in my life. Amen. See, what they used to is a begging church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what you think about me for preaching this. Turn over here to Romans chapter 10 and I'm done. See, that's why all the wars are out there, because people think there is no more. There's plenty. I said, there's plenty. I just bought something a while ago, and I said, boy, I said, Lord, I spent quite a bit of my money for that. He said, there's more where that came from. I said, hey, I'm cool with that. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 10. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Well, how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? Well, how can they hear, come on, without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? I've been sent. I said, I have been sent. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, right quick. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm done. I just want you, if you're going to get mad, I'm going to get you good and mad. I may as well go ahead now. I didn't open up the box. Say amen to this. Look what it says over here. See, we got to reset our thinking. We got to stop letting the world program us, telling us who we are, where we are, what we can do, how far we can go, and what we can have. You're going to have to stop that. Because one of you, based on what this Bible teaches, is able to rebuild Haiti with your own resources. Say amen to that. I'm saying we got to start thinking that way. Let's get our minds up and get them reprogrammed with the Word of God. And look what it says here. Glory to God. Are you with me? Verse 10. All the people of the earth shall what? See that you are called by the name of the Lord. Come on. And they shall be afraid of you. God's going to make you a trophy. He's going to hold you up in his hand and show you how you can get blessed. Folks, if you look at how this whole world is laid out, there were three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know those? Yes. The three of Noah. Notice three places, Asia, Europe, and Africa. Those three places, right in the middle there, was supposed to be Jerusalem. And every one of them is supposed to come and track through there and see how God is blessing those people and want to get in on it.
Amen.
People are supposed to see your life and want to press into the kingdom. Say, hey, I want to live like they're living. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. How we doing? We doing okay?